Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. This is the last Friday of March. This is the last Friday of March.
March just flew by.
We are officially into spring come Tuesday. Allegedly, we had the first day of spring already.
Yeah, it was like last week.
It feels springy, I will be honest. But nonetheless, we are in the last Friday of March. I'm gonna pull an audible here. I'm still in JP on sports mode. I'm calling an audible. All right, I'm at the line. I am reading the defense. I am calling an audible.
Omaha!
So, chicks dig scars. All right, so I just saw something on social media during the break that so cracked me up that I told JP, I said, I think we have to play this on the air. I think we're going to have to. Let me first say that Representative Tim Burchett, congressman from our listening area in Tennessee, is fast becoming one of my favorite congressmen. Guy cracks me up. You know, Senator John Kennedy has the amazing ability to sling words out there that are so disarming and so effectively timed and so well-worded and hilarious that they crack me up all the time. Tim Burchett is not quite to Senator John Kennedy's level, but dang, he's close. So here's the storyline for you. I'm watching the video. You can see, by the way, I found it on it's Bongino Report, still has its own, of course, Twitter feed, X. So I found it on at Bongino Report. This, I don't know who this kid is, but he's like one of those freelance reporters or something. And he's got his camera out and he's trying to film Congressman Burchett as he walks to the Capitol building. And he says, and I'm not going to say the first part and then you can hear the whole thing. He says, Congressman, do you trust Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret? And the response to this is epic. And you got the audio, turn it up a little bit and play it.
Congressman Perry, do you trust Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret?
Do you trust your mother every night to fix your hot pockets and make sure your Game Boy is turned on?
You got a laugh track or an applause or something. You got to just hit all of them, man. Just go ahead and give it all. That's hilarious. I mean, by the way, that was totally off the cuff. That was not a scripted moment. He wasn't looking at a cue card. Burchett's walking to the Capitol. And this kid says, "Do you, like this really kind of whiny voice, do you trust Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret?" While he holds his phone up in Burchett's face. And Burchett goes, "Do you trust your mother every night to fix your hot pockets and make sure your Game Boy is turned on?" Oh, I'm dying, man. That was okay. All right, there. I've had my moment.
That was great.
We can move on now. It's all okay. All right, I'm gonna call another audible. I'm gonna move to number three on the triple dipper, and I'm gonna do it first since that was the subject of my my monologue. Selective racism. What does that mean, Phil? Selective racism. Well, that's when you're only racist when it suits your needs, right? That's when you only call racism when you see a thing that you need to deal with because it also helps your agenda, or it helps you raise money, or it helps you stoke up the anger you need for your political power. Selective racism. Like, it's not about all racism's bad. It's about only when it affects that thing that I care about, then it's bad. So I said it earlier in the show in my monologue, but I'm going to remind you guys. So Trump has been signing executive orders. He signed more executive orders than I think any president in history in his first 100 days. He had 100 days. We're like at, what, 65 days? It's crazy. But all said and done, President Donald Trump signed another executive order last night. And this one is designed to redo or to fix some of the changes that were made during what Daily Caller, that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands, Daily Caller calls the former racial reckoning movement. I never heard of it, but they're coining their own phrase. I approve. Racial reckoning movement, including the restoration of monuments and the removal of so-called anti-American ideologies from national museums and other federal properties. Meanwhile, he appointed J.D. Vance to be the head of the Smithsonian's board. So, The White House said they are, quote, restoring truth and sanity to American history by revitalizing key cultural institutions and reversing the spread of divisive ideology. I mean, you've already got Usha Vance has been appointed to the board of the Kennedy Center. You've got now J.D. Vance is on the board at the Smithsonian. You got an executive order that says, oh, by the way, how about you restore some of those monuments you tore down? Listen, during the monument teardown phase, they went whole hog. Now, on the one hand, not that I approved, but you can almost get the idea that a Confederate statue could be divisive. I get that. I've seen a lot of Confederate statues in my day. I live in the Deep South, so certainly I've seen them. Not every single one of them can be torn down. In fact, you can just go ahead and look at the Alabama State Capitol. There's a gold star embedded in the stairs of the Capitol right as you walk up the steps, straight up off Dexter Avenue, up the steps, center mass to our state capitol. There's a gold star embedded in the stairs, and it's in the marble stairs, and it says, on this step, Jefferson Davis stood and was sworn in as the president of the Confederacy. That's interesting. That's dynamic. That's history. You also have the little White House of the Confederacy right next door. That's interesting. That's history. It doesn't mean we're worshiping Jefferson Davis, but what it means is something happened right here, and it was big doings. Then you got statues that, okay, if they glorify a Confederate, deal with it, and maybe even let the locals to have a say in it, but tearing them down is never going to be okay. Tearing them down is literally, that's crime. But then you've got sort of the everybody swept up in the moment. You can't say all lives matter. We got to do something to show how woke we are. Let's virtue signal. Let's take down Thomas Jefferson. Why are we taking down Thomas Jefferson? He's one of the founding fathers. What are we doing there? Well, Thomas Jefferson had slaves. Okay, that's awful. I hate that he had slaves. He also did an amazing amount to help found the country that later on did away with slavery and fought slavery on the world stage. But anyway, and then you've got and by the way, this got so out of hand. It got to where they're tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln because they don't even understand history anymore and they forgot the Emancipation Proclamation was his. I mean, this went on. Christopher Columbus statues torn down. Why? Because he came to the New World and there were indigenous tribes that lived here and he just subjugated them. No, he didn't. He came here and he planted the flag for Spain because that's what the world did back then. And, oh, by the way, are you wanting to give it all back now? I don't think you do. But here we are. And the idea that you're going to tear down statues and rip up history and pretend that things didn't happen. And by the way, the mantra that you hear on the left is going to be, you're trying to whitewash history. No, we're not. I said it in my monologue earlier. I was taught about slavery when I was a kid in high school. This is back, I mean, literally, I'm in middle school, high school, late 70s, early 80s. I was taught about slavery. We had to read the book, what's it called? Black Like Me. It was a mandatory reading. We got To Kill a Mockingbird, mandatory reading. There was no whitewashing of history. I was taught about the baser things that occurred in the places where I was walking and talking and growing up. I know that Alabama was the cradle of the Confederacy and that slavery was big here. I get that. It was wrong. There's also never been anybody in my lifetime who's been a slave. And I don't know anybody who's ever had a slave. But did generations have them back then? Of course they did. And I can't help that. It happened. And it ended, by the way, in America over 150 years ago. Now, that being said, you have to look forward at where we are. We are a nation that has done more in the world to end slavery and apartheid and racism. I mean, where are you people screaming right now about what's happening in South Africa as they've totally reversed every positive step that was made by Mandela? And they're literally now purging the country of white farmers. All that to say, the selective racism that we see so often in America is usually based on an agenda. It's a power thing. It's a fundraising thing. It's a knee-jerk reaction thing. I know that racism exists. It does, and it's wrong. I was raised to believe it was wrong. I also know that we are not systemically racist, and I stand by that. I served 30 years in the military. My father and my grandfather served before me. I've got family members serving right now. I can tell you right now, the U.S. military is not systemically racist, but for the last 4 years we were told it was. And it was absolutely, you know, just mandatory. We had to change the names of posts, like Fort Bragg couldn't be Fort Bragg anymore. But Trump is restoring order on this. He's bringing back the era of common sense, and he called it restoring truth and sanity to our American history. And I'm appreciative of that, because you can't just they say you can't whitewash history. Well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to pretend that it's too shocking for people to know that something happened 150 years ago. And we're not putting up shrines to them at all. But what we are saying is things happened and we're not going to forget. And oh, by the way, we're going to honor things that went right. And when you tear down everything because you're offended by something, when you live offended, basically you drag society down with you. Now, here's the other piece about selective racism. Selective racism is amazing when you look at things that are required and are actually enshrined as rights in our society. Selective racism says we can't make voter integrity a big deal, because the only way you can do that is to get a voter ID. And that's offensive because, you know, surely you understand that black people and other minorities, they don't know how to go get an ID. That's the biggest insult I've ever heard. Why isn't the black community screaming at that insult? Why aren't they saying you are denigrating us as a people when you say stuff like that? And yet I heard the very things in Montgomery when I was there. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, I'm going to play you an audio track of interviews on the street, black folks and white folks being asked what they think about the idea of black folks having to show an ID to vote. Is it going to be hard? Is it difficult? You're going to like this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm in what would have been number three, but I kind of moved it up here. Selective racism. I wanted to cover this. So one of the things that also happened this week with Trump was he signed another executive order that promotes voter integrity or actually election integrity by making sure that illegals cannot vote. And immediately we got calls of racism. Now, when I was in the Alabama legislature, we also passed photo ID just for voting in general in all state and federal elections. If you register in Alabama, you have to present photo ID to vote. It's not hard. We got all the calls of racism back then. I mean, you were disenfranchising the black vote. They can't get a voter ID. Don't you understand? It was the most asinine thing I'd ever heard. I can't tell you. I think I went to the microphone multiple times and said, "Why are you insulting the black population of the state of Alabama like this?" I mean, this is a nation where a black man's already been president of the United States. We're Supreme Court justices. We've got, you know, the former Secretary of State twice, actually. We're a black woman and a black man. I mean, you look at it and go, come on, y'all. Stop insulting people by saying they can't do something when this is the nation where we can do almost anything. Well, so I'm going to play you an audio, which we're going to wind up lapping through to the next portion because it's a long audio. I'm going to break it into two sections here. There's a guy named Ami Horowitz. He did street interviews out in Berkeley, California. Oh, boy. He went to Berkeley, California to interview white liberals on the street. And then he went to Harlem and interviewed black citizens on the street. And he asked the white liberals, do you think it's voter suppression to require voter ID for African Americans? And let's play the first part of that. You ready? Go ahead.
What opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist and they're bad.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far to say they're, those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely.
Tell us how.
Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
Minority voters are less likely to have the kinds of IDs that have been described or required.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
You can always get IDs on the internet, Does that also make it difficult for black people in particular?
Yeah, you have to have access to the internet. You have to be able to pay an internet service provider for certain fees.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
A lot of people have smartphones, but you might not have data.
For most of the communities, they don't really know what is out there just because they're not aware or they're not informed. I also think there's a repression of black voting with how if you're a convicted felon, you're not allowed to vote and everything.
Wow.
And when you look at swing states like Florida, that's a huge population of the African Americans.
Now I'm here in East Harlem to ask
All right, stop. I'm embarrassed for these people.
By the way, I've been called racist for referencing that exact clip before.
Have you really?
Yes, I have. Yes, we're having this exact same discussion about how it's racist, how racist it is to say that black people can't get voter ID, and I referenced that exact clip, and I was then called racist for that. So,
who called you a racist?
I won't say his name on there, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so yeah, this maddening video is a bunch of white liberals telling you that. You know, it's very important you understand that black people don't know how to use the internet, and they don't live close to DMVs, and they're not aware of the kind of IDs they have to have, and this is an effort towards voter suppression, and then the one girl said something about Florida being a swing state. What is she talking about?
And saying saying that the felon population is
mostly
black.
It's, woo.
Black people don't have internet.
Oh yeah, it's awful. It's hard. Listen, I am not going to pretend that every person in America has access to everything that every other person has. I get that. Rural America has things, and sometimes they don't have things that city America does. You know, you can look at it and say, okay, depending on where you live, there might be some things that are different. Or for that matter, you might have an income disparity. It's not about black and white. It's not. This is so maddeningly insulting. But when we get back, what we're going to do after this break is I'm going to play for you. The same guy took those same comments and he went to Harlem and he interviewed black citizens on the street and got their gut reactions to the things that are being said about them by the white liberals from Berkeley. And it's just enjoyable to listen to, I'll be honest, because it refutes everything that liberals say about voter ID. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I got more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, to that loveliest little town on the plains called Auburn, and stretching across the border into Fort Benning, Georgia, and even big old chunks of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I did it that time, JP.
It was muscle memory there.
There's no notes on that, by the way.
You locked in.
I did. I just zoned
No distractions.
It. Zoned on it. We got a bunch of text messages I'll get to in a moment, but I'm going to finish up this section on selective racism. It's amazing. It's amazing. Does anybody, all right, so we played, all right, use your words, Phil. We played the first half of this clip a moment ago of a guy named Ami Horowitz, who's interviewing white liberals on the street in Berkeley, California. And the things they said, I got news. They think they're being nice and they're really being selectively racist because these white liberals are trying to help the poor black people who don't know how to use the internet because that's hard. And that's just the most base level of selective racism I've ever heard. And the idea that an entire race of people are not smart enough to get a photo ID is insulting at the lowest level. But then he went to Harlem. He took those street interviews he did, and he went to Harlem, and he started asking people there, hey, so, what do you think about it? Let's go ahead and play it.
Well, their thoughts on what you just heard. Do you have ID normally? Do you carry ID around?
Yes, I have state ID.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody, any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No. Everyone that I know has an ID. Why would they think we don't have ID?
That's a lie. Why would they say that?
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. That's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with, ID.
Do you know any black adult who does not have ID?
No, I don't.
Is it a weird thing to even say that?
Yes, it is.
What is this, some type of trick candy camera?
I like know, that? Right? That's the only thing I brought with me.
Those are legit IDs. I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know where that is, on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
You know how to get there?
Yeah.
Did you have a problem getting there if you had to get there?
No.
I know these sound like silly questions. You know how to get the DMV?
Of course.
You know where it is?
Yes.
You can get there?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No problem.
Just checking.
Okay.
And I also heard a lot that black people, especially poor black people, have no access to the internet, can't figure out how to use the internet.
That's just stupidity, honestly. Everybody has access to the internet. Even a little kid could figure out how to work the internet.
I had access to the internet for years.
You know how to use it properly,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I do it at work. So, of course, I know how to use it. Smart. My kids know how to use it. They all have iPads, iPods, whatever.
Your phone has data?
Mm-hmm.
You can access the internet?
Unlimited.
Unlimited data?
Mm-hmm. I use my phone as a hotspot.
What does that say to you for the people who have this perception of black people?
They're pretty much ignorant. That's what my thought process is.
I just think that's ignorant.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. That's the word
I hear. Very, very ignorant.
Let's go ahead and stop it there. I mean, you get the point. You get the point. Everybody he interviewed the first time were white liberals. Everybody he interviewed the second time were just folks passing by, but they were all black on the streets in New York City. And by the way, New York City, not known for being a conservative bastion, right? So
especially Harlem.
Especially Harlem. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think they've elected a Republican there in quite a while. But we're looking at AOC's backyard, right? So the land of Chuck Schumer. But this is where we are right now. They're gonna throw shade of racism on everything in order to try and maintain a control of the black vote, and they're losing on it. And that's what's so enjoyable is how much they're losing on it. They're losing on it on a regular basis. I mean, think back to the campaign season of 2020 when Joe Biden let the inside words become the outside words, and he looked at Charlemagne the God and he said, "If you don't vote for me, you ain't black." And that was, I mean, the whole world kind of went, "Whoa." But the liberal left wouldn't do anything about it. They will scream racism because that was the summer of love. That was the in that same time frame, you had BLM riots burning whole city blocks because of perceived systemic racism. In response to the George Floyd incident up in Wisconsin, and all that's going on, and yet at the same time, the liberal left guy at the top of the ticket is able to say something like, "If you don't vote for me, you ain't black," which is nothing but a selective racism on his part. And what he basically said by saying that was, "We own you. You're our vote. Get on board. You know how you're supposed to act." That's what he said. I know I had to interpret it, but that's what he said. And yet, if that had been a Republican that had said that, wow, wow.
Too many members of the Democratic Party view African Americans as their pawns, almost.
It's they like, do. They take them for granted.
Yeah. It's like you must vote for me, and it's like a get in line attitude.
Yeah,
it's extremely demeaning, and
know your place in society.
Mm-hmm. And it's Barack Obama saying, "I'm not feeling enough energy from the brothers to vote for Kamala Harris."
Oh my gosh, that's right, he did.
It's like really.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So I just had to get this off my chest because I had just seen, so Phil, why are you doing this today? Because of the two executive orders this week, both of which are already going to be facing charges of racism. You've got the executive order from Trump just last night to reestablish monuments and statues that have been torn down in what one article called the racial reckoning movement of 2020, the same time frame I talked about a minute ago. And then the other executive order was earlier this week, defining the fact that our election integrity laws need to get tightened up, and he is requiring proof of citizenship for all federal elections. And that means you're going to have to present ID, and that means it's going to be scary. And of course, you hear white liberals in Berkeley saying, "You can't ask black people to have an ID." Yes, you can. You know why? Because just like everybody else, they have rights. They want their election. I don't care how they vote. I don't care how anybody votes. Everybody wants their elections to count. Everybody wants their vote to count. Everybody wants the count to be right when it's counted. And the only way to do that is tighten up election laws. So the idea of this is, I mean, anyway, selective racism. You hear me? Use that phrase when you're having one of those water cooler conversations or talking to one of your liberal friends at, you know, at Sunday dinner, and they said something about, well, this is wrong. And just tell them you're being selectively racist. What do you mean by that? When it fits your agenda, you'll say things that nobody else is allowed to say. All right, I'm gonna call it there. I'm gonna get some text messages. I got a ton of them.
By the way,
yeah, what?
You got two messages, Tuck, when you said in passing your calloused parachuting hands. You got two people who caught that and texted in about it. I obviously saw that. David from Cortland said that you ought to start using the phrase "in my previously calloused parachuting hands" as a right side way catchphrase, like Rush Limbaugh did in my previously nicotine stained fingers.
I will. You know what? Maybe I'm channeling my inner Rush. I don't know, but I will. I will. That may become a thing. It just came out today.
And then Tom with all the kids just texting and curious about your parachuting experience. That's who you've jumped with.
As an Army paratrooper and jump master. I got a few behind me. Not all of which went really well.
Which is why
most of them did. I walked into the studio today, didn't I? Yeah. But I still got a paratrooper neck with three fused vertebrae. So how about that?
I just find that funny that you said that in passing and people caught on to that. It's funny.
All right. Good enough. Let me get some text messages here real quick. JP, what do we got? 443. Okay. Yeah. CJ from Huntsville. Many illegals falsely cited India as their country of origin. I'm not aware of this. He said, will HHS be forced to send them to India? CJ, I cannot answer that question because I've never heard that before. That's interesting to me. Hey, CJ, if you got an article or some other sourcing that says that, I would love to see it because I had never thought about them lying about their country of origin once we found them. That's interesting. But you know what? If we don't know anything different, but we know they're here illegally and they say, I'm from India, I'd say pack them up and send them off. Adam from Athens, when a team never makes it to the tournament, it's not hard to beat the record of wins. Just saying. Who's he talking about?
He's talking about when I said Nate Oates. Hey, Wimp Sanderson got to the Sweet 16, I think, eight times, went 0-8 in the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's not that he didn't get there. He couldn't break the block that Oates already did. So.
Adam, he's wearing his maroon shirt. You're not going to be able to make it today, man.
Hey, I will stick by Wimp Sanderson all I can on this show.
Mike from Florence says, I want to hear about the UFL and even the IFL. And he says, oh, by the way, I'm sorry. He says something that hadn't been talked about much is how many countries Venezuelans cross. Oh, I did read that earlier.
He's talking about, so the UFL, which is the other football league, starts this week. I didn't even notice that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
A future 2-minute warning.
Or the Birmingham Stallions are like the dominant team in that league.
Birmingham always has the dominant team in the alternative league. They have since I was a kid.
It's all the former Bama and Auburn players who were in the NFL for 2 years and went to the UFL.
We've had the Birmingham Stallions, the Birmingham Vulcans, we've had the Birmingham All-Americans, I believe, and then they come back to the Stallions, and then they, it's like, wow. Little did you know, we had season tickets, Granddaddy did, to the Birmingham Stallions first go-around.
Really?
I went down to a game or two, yep.
So we had the Huntsville Vipers season tickets, the arena football team.
Oh, that was, I saw them. Yeah, they were pretty cool. I always liked the fact that arena football, they would kick off and the receiver would have to turn around and catch it off the net.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Tom with all the kids says, just curious who you jumped with. He said, I've got jumps with the 82nd, the 525th MI, and the 20th Engineers. Thank you for your service, Tom, with all the kids. I jumped with the 122nd LRS out of Georgia. I jumped with 20th Special Forces Group multiple times. I jumped, who else? And I've jumped on every DZ out of every aircraft I can think of, rotary wing and fixed wing. Tom, thanks for your paratrooper service. Paul from Athens says, slavery of different races still exists in the world. Let them fight it there. Okay. John from Huntsville says, Tim Burchett. He said, Congressman Tim Burchett gets massive extra credit points for that Hot Pockets comment. Hot Pockets.
Big Hot Pockets guy over here.
I don't mind a Hot Pocket.
My Hot Pocket phase in middle school or so.
Although you can napalm your mouth with a Hot Pocket.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah.
You can.
It's almost like required.
You can lose part of your tongue with a Hot Pocket.
Yeah. It's a every time experience almost.
It's napalm in a roll.
Yeah.
Jen from Huntsville says, I'm still disgusted the Robert E. Lee statue by artist Henry Schrady was melted down. History or not, it was one of a kind piece of art. Yeah, I get it. You know, and there's a place. I mean, I so here's the thing. If a courthouse or a local community does not want to have, you know, the Robert E. Lee statue, destroying it does not seem like the right thing to do. I mean, I would say you can find a private collector who will take it. You can find another place to put it. You maybe even find like a Civil War battlefield that will take it, because what do you do? It's Civil War. Robert E. Lee may have fought there. I just look at it and think, I get where maybe you don't want to honor that in front of your courthouse anymore, but the idea of burning it or melting it down, my gosh, makes no sense. David from Cortland, Alabama says, hey, Phil, this is David from Cortland. You ought to start using the phrase in my previously, oh, callous parachuting hands. Yeah, I see it. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. This may stick. I don't know. Roxanne from Harvest says, Colonel Williams and JP, have a great and safe weekend. Thank you, Roxanne. You as well, my friend. Graham from Meridianville says, hey, Phil, not everybody wants fair elections, and every vote counted. Plenty of Democrats have proven that. Not sure what we're saying here.
He's saying not everybody wants fair elections, and every vote counted, I think is what he's trying to say.
Oh, okay, Democrats, there was no punctuation.
Yeah.
The punctuation, lack thereof, was killing me. I'm sorry about that. All right. Thank you, Graham. A couple more, we'll go to the break. Gary from Scottsboro says, Democrats don't take blacks for granted. Democrats keep blacks segregated and oppressed in large cities where they expect blacks to remain faithful voters. That was part of my point a moment ago. Yes, indeed. I think they do take them for granted, though. I think they imagine that they have got them where they want them, and that they will stay there. I do realize that, and I hate to even say the black vote, the white vote, the male vote, the female vote. I hate to, but that the reality is, there are demographics that are measured by pollsters, and they see them, and the preponderance of the black vote, if you will, has been Democrat for decades, but they saw a large turning away to the Republican Party this last election, a large turning away. And you are watching right now as man on the street interviews are indicating clearly that the folks who have voted Democrat, many of them are saying, why did I do that? Look at what I'm getting now. In the first 60 days, they're already saying that. Real quick, Red from Tony, Alabama says, imagine being so disconnected from reality, you make assumptions of whole swaths of people, but being so unaware of it that you live as though your assumptions are reality. You just described Democrats. Thank you very much, Red. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, NFL kickers come from the UFL, usually ex-soccer players.
There's been a lot.
There's been a few. And then Tom with all the kids says, not a paratrooper, just a pogue on the core step. No, man. You're a paratrooper. If you jumped, you jumped. Knees to the breeze, brother. Feet and knees together. Stop, drop, and roll. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. We're heading to the weekend, you guys. It is Friday. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.